Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of From the Terraces. We've got Matt and Ollie in the studio, Mark on the phone, and possibly Steve, although I'm not sure he's going to talk about because Cambridge City failed to play again. In fact, there wasn't much football. None of the women's game, none of the women's first teams played either this weekend, although I don't think that was weather. I think apart from Histon, they just didn't have any scheduled. Histon, I have no idea what's going on down at Histon. 8 games unbeaten, 7 wins, 1 draw, and an 8-0 hammering of Fakenham yesterday. We'll be talking to both Mark and Lance on the telephone later on. Slightly more familiar news for United fans. Yeovil defeat. And we'll come back to it, but it was a very odd game. But again, suffering from the same problem, long periods of domination and a complete failure to score goals. And then shipping goals like nobody's business. We'll be talking a lot about Cambridge United shortly. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can. All the usual ways to do that. You can text us on 07919 070490, 07919 070490. Or you can email studio@cambridge105.co.uk. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that, and we will read out your contributions for the evening. We're going to do the worst thing ever and speculate a lot today, I think, as well, because there's a dearth of football news from the teams we follow. So if you've got any views on what's currently going on at United, then do feel free to text or email in. Keep it clean. And I'm not sure we'll necessarily run them all out, because we obviously have to be a little careful about what we say, because it is speculation. Oh, that's interesting. That shouldn't have finished there, but it's decided to finish early for some bizarre reason. OK, we'll start as we usually do then with Cambridge United. Well, there you go. Did you go to Yeovil?
I didn't go to Yeovil.
I went
Tuesday night, and I think that was enough for me.
To the ploughed field in Coventry. Yeah. That was a terrible pitch, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely.
Did you pay £10 for the parking like I did as well?
No, I went up on the supporters coach.
Unbelievable. £10 to sit in an empty car park, and the only thing they could say is, oh, it's not our ground, that's what we have to charge.
£6 at good value.
Yeah, it does. It's always funny when you go, because I mean, like yesterday at Yeovil, we didn't have to pay any parking at all. But £10 to go that far. But an interesting week for football, really, at United. I mean, let's take the Coventry game first. In the end, we expected to lose. I mean, we talked about this last time. Coventry are a good team. They've had some good results. And the first half of that game was like we didn't bother turning up. The second half, we actually looked quite good. So a typical game of two halves that we play now, or more accurately, probably somewhere between 60 minutes and 90 minutes. But we were kind of sidetracked by the refereeing decisions as well, and we know that apparently the club got an apology from the referee's assessor, if that's true. But you could argue that there were two, possibly three penalties. You could argue that the second goal should have been disallowed. You could argue that the third goal came off what should have been a foul further down the pitch. So it's easy to say, well, you know, we would have won had we got the refereeing decisions to go for, but I don't think we would have deserved it had we won. But it was certainly an interesting game, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think you're right, Tim. I think, you know, to point the finger at the refereeing decisions and say we could have got something, but I don't think so. I don't think they'd have made much difference whatsoever, because at the end of the day, that first half performance absolutely deserved what we got, which was nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
And we were We were pathetic, basically. The first 45 minutes, we were absolutely pathetic. We couldn't... I know the pitch was heavy, but we still couldn't even pass to each other. Nothing was sticking up front. We couldn't defend. We, you know, there was no organisation. There was no fight. We let Coventry come at us at will, and it was absolutely embarrassing to watch. And, you know, as I say, for both of their goals in the first half, I think we must have had three or four chances to clear the ball properly, but it was just sort of a half can't be bothered, you know, I'll just put it in a kind of right area for it so somebody possibly clear it, and, you know, and there's no team cohesion at the moment. There's no fight from them. Nobody's out there motivating them, trying to get them G'd up. They look like they're going through the motions, and as I say, we'll come on to it more, but it is sort of summing up the football club at the moment, basically. You know, the what's going on the pitch is sort of the same as what's going on off the pitch. It's just nothing, absolutely nothing. And, you know, we turned around and we said a couple of weeks ago, now we'll get the four wins that would just about keep us up. I think we're going to struggle to win four games for the rest of the season because we are so, so bad at the moment.
Overall, I'm not going to disagree with you over the 90 minutes, but there are sparks of good, if not great, play at times. Part of the Coventry game, you know, we were very strong in the second half, and then yesterday, I think for quite a large part of the game, we actually dominated the game. And the pity is, and the problem is, and the real worry is that we knew it was a problem at the start of the season. We knew it was a problem going into this transfer window, and lo and behold, it's still a problem now. And Sean mentioned at the end of yesterday's game, he talked about he can't wait for some of the people to come back. And I don't... but they were the same people who weren't doing what we wanted them to do before. Yeah. So, yes, things may be worse, particularly defensively, because I think we're struggling without, you know, Taylor, and who came back yesterday, and Legg. But I'm not sure that necessarily that the attackers coming back is actually going to help, because they didn't do it before. Why would they do it now?
I think it's a very good point. You know, he can point towards the injuries as much as he wants, but... You know, the issue is Amu, yes, has got a bit of something there, but, you know, when he puts a good ball into the box, how many times have we actually got somebody in the box to get on the end of the ball? You know, as I say, we go back to Tuesday, and how many times did we put a half-decent ball in Tuesday night and there was nobody there in a good position, you know? And it's okay saying he wants his players back, but you're right, they haven't done it all season, and it's not to say that they're going to come back in and do it. I mean, I can't remember the last time Uche scored a goal, but was it Crew? I think it was Crew. So that was about a month ago. I could be wrong, but I think that was the last time he scored.
You can't remember.
Yeah, it sums it up.
The really interesting thing as well is I hadn't really thought about this until someone pointed out yesterday. It's 14 away games without a win. We haven't won away since September. That's dreadful.
Yeah.
That's relegation form, but easily.
It is. Absolutely. And as I say, you know, we are in a situation where, you know, we've got a massive game Friday night against Lincoln, which I say I don't expect absolutely anything from. And then we've got two probably 6-point games against Chesterfield and Grimsby, and they're the games we have to win, because if we don't win them, I think we're absolutely in trouble. And you know, as I say, I didn't go yesterday, but like you said, it's all right playing good football for 60-75 minutes,
yeah.
But when we get the chances like we did, you've got to score them. Yeah. And at the moment, we're not putting the chances away. We're a 45 to 60 minute team at the moment, and then we're so soft at the back, and we concede so many soft goals. And, you know, as I say, the form we're in right now, you can't afford to do that. He doesn't know his right team either. It doesn't help with the chopping and changing of personnel. As I say, some should come out. There's a few of them. I mean, he dropped Carroll finally for yesterday's game. I thought he'd absolutely the worst left back I've seen in this league. Deegan, I don't know where Deegan's gone from over Christmas, because he must be having another month off, because he's an absolute embarrassment at the moment in the middle of the park. He's not doing enough. The fact that we're having to play O'Neill as a sort of right-sided winger slash midfielder is sums up how bad we are.
I think I mentioned this before, but Joe showed me O'Neill's picture on FIFA. Do you play FIFA at all?
Yeah.
Have you seen O'Neill on FIFA? I'm sorry if you're listening, but it is a terrible characterisation of him.
The frustrating thing is, though, when he was talking before Christmas about the transfer window and how he's going to bring all these players in to improve the squad, he had the players who are now injured in the squad, and now we've got supposedly the players he wanted in January, or we have to believe that, and now the players who he had are now injured. So he's constantly sort of putting the blame on players that they haven't got, which is frustrating. And the lack of effort on Tuesday, even on the blurry stream that I watched, it was terrible, really. I mean, I don't understand how you can't motivate yourself for an away game at Coventry, only real stadium that has four corners.
I was listening to the Arsenal game on the way home yesterday, which I nearly crashed off the road when we were 3-0 in 20 minutes. But Joey Barton quoted someone, and I can't remember who he was actually quoting. It might have been Jimmy Armfield, and he said the minimum you can expect is maximum effort. Mm-hmm. Whatever else happens, if you're not giving 100% on the pitch, you shouldn't be there. And that's the thing is, and I think, you know, that's not the job of the manager. If the players can't come out onto the pitch and look like they want to play, there's nothing that the old adage, once they step over the white line, it's down to them. So the tactics and everything else and the strategy may be down to Derry, but sometimes the players just don't help themselves, the club or Sean, in terms of what they put out on the pitch.
However, there will be some players who are sort of, you know, every player's different. So there'll be some players who are low on confidence who then need motivating slightly different by Derry to someone else. For example, one player may need an arm around the shoulder, etc. One might need sort of kick up the backside. So there'll be players who are probably going out there, especially the run we've got on, with really lower confidence. So I think, maximum effort is the least you can expect. But, you know, if they need to be... The effort on Tuesday was disgusting. And whether it's partly sort of manager motivating or not, whatever it was just unacceptable, really.
Yeah,
and they don't look motivated. And you're right, Ollie. You know, perhaps, you know, the players have got to go out there and give maximum effort, but I think you're right. You know, the manager still has to try and fire them up, and he just doesn't... They don't look fired up. It doesn't look like whatever Derry's telling them is going in. Now, if we were any other football club, the manager had been sacked by now, because if he's lost the dressing room, then there's no point in him being at the football club. And Richard Money got exactly the same treatment. And as I say, rightly or wrongly, Richard Money lost his job because he lost the dressing room. It looks like Derry's lost the dressing room.
I don't know. I mean, we speculate, but it was only what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was, the last home game, I think it was, where Anuche's done it several times, and other players have come across. They've made a big thing of celebrating a goal in front of Derry, kind of indicating that he hasn't lost the dressing room at all. Now, okay, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, perhaps he has. I don't know, but certainly the impression I've had is that whatever else has been going on at the club, and whatever anyone else thinks of whether Derry should be there or not, the players seem to be on his side. Whether that's changed, I don't know.
But surely the performance would be better, and that's how you have to judge it.
Yeah.
Is because at the end of the day, the performances they're putting in at the moment are absolutely diabolical. Now, if they're behind the manager, they'd be running that extra 10% to win. You know, to win a tackle, to get to a ball, this, that, and the other. They're not even doing that. Like, you know, at the moment, there's barely anybody out there who is coming out of this run with any credit. You know, we have glimpses. Halliday's had glimpses. Taylor's been okay, I suppose.
But
the rest of them, you know, they're not exactly doing... You know, Waters looks okay. He looks a good player, but he's not exactly getting the service, which is, you know, that's not up to him. That's not his fault, but he works hard.
So yesterday at Yeovil was a real classic. What's the point in putting a ball over the top to Waters when he's about 4'2"? If you stand up next to him, you're going to head the ball away from him.
He used to with Ben Williamson, didn't he? I think. Yeah. Yeah. Went to Williamson, went out of his
Higgett as well. Pig, yeah. Did it with Pigot, like, you know, so, and that's tactics. That is tactics from, I don't know who it is, somebody from the sidelines or, you know, and this is the problem. We just look at absolute shambles at the moment.
So Lynch's texted in, another week, another 6 points lost, another couple of rubbish performances, more wasted journeys and money travelling away. God, it's getting so depressing. Oh, goodness, a nice, light, jovial piece from Lynchy this week. We're getting worse game by game, and the only reason we'll just stay up is because there are too many rubbish teams between us and the relegation zone. And I think ultimately that is what's going to save us, is that there's plenty more rubbish below us. And I think, you know, if four games is the magic number, I think, you know, we will get four more wins.
I'm not
quite sure where from.
I think we've been so inconsistent, Derry's reign, we probably will keep being inconsistent and then go on a run again of two or three games. But
what does he say? For God's sake, we're meant to be a team challenging for the playoffs at the start of the season and making progress from last season, but we are considerably worse. Everything at this club stinks, from the board and backroom staff to the manager. There is something seriously very fishy going on with our club. More on that later on. Can't comment on the game Saturday apart from the awful chance. Oops, oh, there's someone just coming in there. Can't comment on the game Saturday apart from our awful chances we squandered. However, I did go to Coventry. Yes, we were robbed of a couple of penalties, but with that first half performance, we didn't deserve anything out of the game. We were absolutely shocking. Our problems are coming from a lack of width and having possibly the worst left back in the league, and it doesn't help that we can't score goals. Pretty much rounds it off, really. I'm not surprised Cole's looking at other offers. What a joke that we've only played him for 40 minutes in total throughout January. If we had the balls to sack Derry before Christmas, like most fans wanted, we mightn't find ourselves in this position. Thank God I'm going away tomorrow on holiday for a month and leaving this depressing season behind. It's probably not even worth stumping up a fiver to watch us on iFollow whilst abroad. And I think Ollie would agree with that, because he tried that and it didn't work. I'm just trying to work out whether I can read that last line, can't I? I'm sure, yeah. It says, more chance the Thai women can shoot balls at a target as well. So have a nice holiday, and we'll see you hopefully safe by the time you get back, but who can tell. Another text came in, but what, that's just about
I know Keith's on the email.
Yes, yeah, so I've got Keith's email here, so here we go. And I'll have to put my glasses on to read this, because it's too small to read any other way. Four more wins. That's what everyone says we need to be safe this season. Where are these four wins coming from? We're rudderless and in free fall as things stand. Derry sounded like he was a beaten man in his interview after Yeovil, and we'll come to that in a minute. However, he still felt able to say that he wasn't going to give up and he'd be there to lead the team next week. But I think whatever happened, unless... I can't see any situation where they would get rid of Derry before the end of the season now. And I can't... Anyway, we'll come back to that in a minute. Phone's locked. This is, the board should have made the call there and then and shut the coach door in his face. He's been a beaten man since before Christmas. Regardless of the off-field issues with finances and running of the club week to week, we are going nowhere under Derry's leadership other than the National League. It can't surely be financial reasons for not firing him now. They must at least have money to pay his wages off to the end of May. Anybody, and I mean anybody, could be no better or worse. We are utterly, utterly without ideas, tactics and any type of plan B. Cool. Blimey. Who are the big players that we're missing so desperately? Legg, I really don't think his presence would make that much difference. He's been a shadow of his former self this season. Abire has been a terrible signing, and Duncan Mingoya have had all the flair and pace sucked out of them. Well, we know that Legg's not going to be around for a while, and we know that Mingoya's not going to be around for a while, because we've talked about that. It's an utter mess, and I've never known so many fans completely disillusioned and staying away in their droves. Leave now, Mr. Derry, like you should have done a month ago. Forest Green was a total embarrassment, and following that with two more defeats is incredible. Please tell me where our next points are coming from. And he followed that email up with another one where he said, oh, I've lost it now. That one there.
It says, Greg Taylor.
No, it's not. It says Matt Lockwood to be new manager. There you go.
Well,
you've got a job there.
I wouldn't get the job, because unfortunately half of that lot would be out the door quite early.
Eight players left.
Yeah, there'd be...
So... Let's just listen to what Sean had to say, and then I know we shouldn't do this, but I just want to talk about the club, because I've got some things to get off my chest. But let's listen to what Sean had to say following the Yeovil game.
Well, Sean,
oops,
it wasn't one of those times.
Goals change games, and we had three fantastic opportunities to score, two in the first half, one in the second half, and we didn't take them. And goals change games. It's as simple as that. It doesn't really matter what you do, you know, in between both 18-yard box. It's all about scoring goals and defending for your life. We didn't score goals today and we didn't defend for our lives when we really needed to. And we end up losing 2-0. We're not losing 2-0. And that's what it's going to say in the papers tomorrow in the morning. And we have to swallow it and deal with it. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired. It's like a broken record. Going in there and saying you've got to take your chances. You've got to be more ruthless, both boxers. And at this moment in time, we're not. And it just, you know, I cannot wait for certain people to come back into our starting 11. I cannot wait because I need more from the boys at this moment in time.
You had Greg Taylor back today, which was a boost, clearly. Any sign of any more coming back?
Not imminently, unfortunately. You know, the big fellow at the back, Leggy, who we've missed probably more than any other player, is probably not going to be ready for another 4 or 5 weeks. So we have to make sure that, you know, people come to the front and take responsibility for their own performances. And I'll take responsibility, of course. You know, I'm the manager. You know, I'm the one that stood there on the sideline, and I'll take responsibility and not shy away from any criticism, because ultimately it falls at my feet. But I think in days like this, I think we all have to take a lot of responsibility.
And yet you put a side out there that created, I reckon, 6 opportunities before Yeovil had a shot on target.
Well, of course, you know, when you score you 1 or 2, and that 6 might become 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
because you're on the front foot and you've got confidence. But when you don't score from the chances that you're creating, you know, a bit of nervousness sets in, and I think that's what happened today.
That looked evident to me once Yeovil had gone in front, you stopped creating.
And I think that's just evident over the past few weeks. You know, when we get hit with them killer blows, you know, when we are on the front foot and we don't score the goal and then we get done on the counter, I think there's a, you know, there's a shyness that takes over our play. And, you know, I don't see that creativity that I've seen, you know, early on in the games like we've shown today. I thought the first 45 was a very good performance. It didn't have the goals in it, but it had the performance levels and the creativity. And I thought the rotation was good, and I thought players played on top of the game. And then they scored the first goal from, I mean, let's get it right. Yeovil had not even had a shot on target at that point. And it's a hapless ball into the back post, and we've not won the first header, and we've not jumped on the second, and it ends up in the back of our net. And then I think we've just lost a little bit of confidence at that point.
It's so key, isn't it, in all sport, confidence, and a lot of it's so much played in the head.
Of course, I keep mentioning the mentality of players. You know, you can be the most fantastic footballer. If you're low on confidence or you haven't got your mentality right, then you're going to have a tough day. And that's what's been happening to us too often. You know, it's that mentality, you know. And like I say, I don't want to make excuses. I'm not that guy to make excuses, but you know, the reasons are we are very much missing some big players, and we need them back. We need them back sooner rather than later.
Is it getting to the point away from home now when you just need just something really lucky to happen, just to turn your fortunes?
Probably. But, you know, you have to earn that luck, and you have to work as hard as you possibly can, harder than the week prior to, you know, to there where you're asking for the luck. You need, the harder you work, the more lucky you get.
Yeah.
And we do need that luck, of course. You know, we're asking for something to drop out in the 6-yard box, in the 18-yard box, and a strike that perhaps goes off somebody's backside, whatever it is. But I tell you what, one thing's for sure is that, you know, I won't be shying away from the challenge. Absolutely not. And the boys won't shy away from the challenge. And, you know, it's my responsibility as the, you know, as the head coach of the football club to take them into the next battle. And that's what my intentions are.
Got that little run of three away games out the way now. Nothing from those, clearly. But at home, it's a different story, and that needs to continue, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and we've got a mighty game on Friday night. You know, Lincoln are going to be a huge team to play against in many ways. And we have to make sure that, you know, people come to support us on Friday. You know, we need the support of the fans. You know, we need the backing of the faithful that come to the Abbey, because the players do. The players need that. Whenever, I've said this many times before, whenever our fans have got right behind us, you know, we've seemed to have put in a performance at home, and we need that.
We're so busy discussing things that we completely forgot what we were doing. So let's just take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about it just a little bit more.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So we were having a nice heated discussion in the studio there. So okay, so let's get this out in the open. So I said my concern is I think we'll stay up this year. My concern is that next year we'll be relegated, because I think if we finish poorly this year, which it looks like we're going to, then the clubs will come in over the summer, and there are plenty of targets. And you know, Derry himself even said that there's players that have been associated with other clubs in terms of interest, and he's even named Halliday, Maris, Mingoya. We know Core maybe looking at other offers. You look at Brown, you look at Uche, and potentially others. And you kind of think, well, you know, if we lose players like that, our track record of replacing players has been appalling. And so you end up with a team that's a shadow of the one we had this year. And if they struggled, you can't see anything other than further struggle next year.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. The thing is obviously, you know, off the field we don't know what's going on. The silence is deafening from the football club, and the manager's situation, no matter what, obviously will have an impact on some of the players staying or going or whatever. So obviously that doesn't help. You know, we're in turmoil on and off the pitch. I've made no secret, I think everybody knows that, you know, I don't think Derry's the man to take us forwards. We're going backwards, and his excuse is that, oh, you know, when I came here we preserved the Football League status, this, that and the other. Well, we're back exactly in a full circle to where we were when we sacked Richard Money.
The difficulty is going to be when we reach 18th spot, I think you said it was, Ollie, and we're then below he was when he joined, then, you know, what do you say then? You know, we're not going forward. We are patently, obviously, at least, at best, we are stationary. If not, we're going backwards now.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, as you say, have we missed an opportunity? Has the football club missed an opportunity that, you know, before the Christmas period to have got rid of Sean and get a new manager in, ready for the summer with a bit of stability and ready to go, you know, with potential signings already lined up from what the manager wanted? Yes, I think we have. And I think we've done it before. We're doing it again. We need some leadership from somewhere, because at the moment, as you say, Tim, if we do survive, if we do get the 4 or 5 wins to keep us up this year, we're starting from scratch again in the summer. And, you know, you get a new manager in. I mean, how long is that going to take us? If we get a new one in, you know, a month, 2 months, is Mr. Derry out straight after the Port Vale games? Have they got somebody lined up?
Yeah.
Too many questions, not enough answers from this football club. And
if you want answers, you have to get some of the stuff that's been discussed on the forums is just fantastic. I don't understand. You get people who are having supposedly an educated football discussion, and then it's like, who do we have as a manager? Dion Dublin. Not sure that Dion Dublin is 40 in core player managers.
Great.
Not sure about that. You know, I mean, let's be serious about this. If you want to replace Sean Derry, who was a Premier League player and has got coaching experience, you at least have to have someone with coaching experience. You know, so those suggestions that are being made probably aren't the answer to everything.
Well, I mean, we say that, but look at Newport at the moment. It's somebody with a bit of passion. It's, you know, Newport through and through, as we know, and was made, you know, after all the coverage that they've got against Spurs. You know, sometimes it does work out. I mean, not to say that next season that they won't go the other way when all their so-called misfits get signed up by somebody else. Yeah. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think you're absolutely right. I think we're going to be in a big state of flux come the summer, and we really need to get things sorted out now and very quickly. As I say, you know, the summer's definitely going to be interesting, and the football club needs a boost from somewhere. And as somebody said, you know, we got rid of the early bird season ticket discount for this year because we weren't reliant on the money. So when it comes to for next season, if that suddenly turns up because we need the money, it's going to speak volumes for where we are. So
okay, so So we'll make the disclaimer now that everything that follows is pure speculation in most cases. But some questions I think have to be asked, because I don't understand how I think I do understand. The club are being bizarrely quiet about a whole host of topics, and you kind of think, you know, some of the people there are talented business people, you know, very talented business people, leading, you know, big companies. They understand social media. They understand what goes on and the disquiet that's being generated. They understand that the poor PR that's coming from this, and yet they still remain silent. So, you know, and I know that there's loads and loads of speculation and real rubbish that's being talked on the forums, but it reflects the concern of the fans. Whether it's right or wrong, it reflects the concern of the fans. So they're asking the question, is the club in financial difficulties? And they cite as evidence the fact that, you know, where has the money gone? Where's the money gone that was created from the television money and the United money? Where's the money gone that was generated from the transfers that we've had in, whether we got good deals or bad deals? There is money there. Where's that money gone? If it's sitting in an account waiting for the new stadium or whatever else, tell us that. It's weird that the only assumption you can draw is that potentially we are in financial difficulty. How bad those are, we don't know. And it's compounded by the fact that, as you said, what happened to the new announcement over sponsors and link-ups? What's happened to the stadium plans? We've never really been told what happened there.
They've made initial statements, haven't they? And then, they've just gone. They've said they'll announce things in due course, and they haven't.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole Paul Barry takeover, you know, that was supposed to be in January, and literally that's gone completely silent. Somebody understands that these things are weighing heavily on supporters' minds, and they either need to come out and tell us something, or the only assumption that people will make, rightly or wrongly, is they're not telling us, because actually there is a serious problem. And you know, is it a financial problem? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate any more than that. But it has to be said that the club really needs to come out and make a statement. Jez George is the other obvious one. You know, okay, Jez wasn't massively involved in the media before he went away, so you could argue he's not speaking to the media now. And we haven't seen a programme, so we don't know whether he's still doing the CEO column. But you'd think that after all the turmoil, he's come back from Australia, and I haven't seen him around in the same way as we saw him around before he left. The club hasn't talked about that. You know, someone needs to come forward and say something, because people will just speculate and they'll get more and more hacked off. I know CFU are trying to get details from the club, financial details from the club. You know, the AGM, I don't know whether it's late now or whether it's been delayed or whether it's going to be delayed, but the response that was published just last week was not satisfactory to the CFU. They're not going to get the information they want. You know, so again, all of this points to either an unnecessary keeping people in the dark, or for some reason, you know, whether it's a real problem, whether there's, you know, even, I mean, some of the rumours, you know, so I ought to say that some of the people who write on the forums really, really need to understand libel laws and slander, because they're going to get themselves into real trouble potentially because of naming names in what potentially might be wild speculation. You know, and people are asking, the more sensible people are asking for evidence of it, and of course they can't give any. But this is what happens when there's a lack of information coming from the club. Everyone makes up their own information. Some of it will be completely misinformed, some of it may have a grain of truth, but the club need to do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's work on what we do know. The fans are absolutely treated like just people that turn up on the day now. Well, that's certainly something that has changed in the football club over the past couple of seasons, is that there's been no transparency whatsoever. Now, whether it's because of this switch to the sort of corporate machine that we have become, and there's so many suits walking around the football club now, you can't not see them. You know, it's physically impossible to see them not walking around in the Dublin suite, round the ground, this, that and the other. So the fans have become sort of, you know, unimportant, I should say, and it has created this massive sort of gap between the football club and the fans, which was, and as we say, you go into the conference years, and you know, when Dave and Jez and Richard Miller were in charge, you know, you could, things were opened up, like everybody knew what was going on, you know, the PR and everything was spot on. It was a good place to be. It was sort of like a small golden period for the football club in terms of the fans and the club being, you know, together. The atmosphere was half decent for the promotion season. You know, it's been flat for ages, like absolutely flat. And yes, the product on the pitch doesn't help, but can we sort of say, you know, has there been enough investment for the product on the pitch for people to keep coming back? When we got up, we had that feel good factor that everybody was all happy and everything, you know, families were welcome to come in, you know, you could go and, okay, they still do meet the players and all that, which is good, but you know, it's very much a corporate machine. The silence from the top over the financial situation, and as we mentioned, like Paul Barry's takeover, is deafening. Something needs to be come out. I mean, CFU have only now just started gearing themselves up after the Checker trade criticism that they rightly received. But why has it taken them so long to be criticised over something that they, if they'd have, you know, sort of ticketed the fans and said, do you want to be in this? Have you got an opinion on it? 90% of the fan base would probably turn around and said no. But because they spoke to their members, who probably turn up and are loyal fans as well, and, you know, I don't take that away from them, and they turn up for the Tim Pot Trophy games and pay their money, and that's fine, that's their decision. But, you know, that's not the whole fan base as a whole. That is not Cambridge United Football Club.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many more thousands of people who attend games week in, week out, home and away, you know, that if they're ticketed everything, and, you know, asked on social media, which they hadn't done for a while, you know, so it's criticism from the actual fans that have got CFU into this position where now suddenly they're acting on behalf of the fans, you know. So transparency, that's what we want. That's what we need.
I think also the most worrying thing that you alluded to, Matt, was that now CFU have got involved. Obviously, as fans, we want to know things, but the fact that CFU, the shareholders and the people who put money into the club, they can't even get information.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Flabbergasting. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We're putting the world to rights. If only we had an answer to at least some of those questions, we'd be happy. But, I mean, let's just get back to the reality of February. I mean, Lincoln at home, Chesterfield away, Grimsby at home, Notts County at home, Accrington Stanley away. It's a killer month. I mean, you know, if we're going to stand any chance, there are at least two games there that we want to pick points up at. But unfortunately, the Chesterfield game is away from home. Mm. The Accrington Stanley game, one is away from home. Lincoln, Grimsby and Notts County at home, you know, you could argue that given that we nearly thumped them away, we might actually thump them at home. Mm. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. No. Grimsby and Lincoln, they could be wins, they could be, you know, it's almost, because the inconsistency is now so glaring, it's just impossible to say now how we're going to do. It's which team turns up and how long that team turns up for, I think, is the problem we have now. So
if we get 6 from 15, that's what I would say. 6 from 15 would be quite nice. So you've got to beat Chesterfield. You've got to beat Chesterfield. You've got to beat Grimsby.
Yeah.
And then you get anything from Lincoln, and I don't think we'll get anything from Notts County. And Accrington Stanley usually give teams a 2-goal head start at their place and then go and beat us. Yeah. So I don't expect anything there. Right? Well, I mean, we'd be lucky to score 2 goals away from home against them anyway. So if you get 6 from 15 and then you go into a tougher month, you thought that, you know, February was hard, then you go into March and you're playing Luton and Wickham, and yeah, and that'll be 0 from 15.
A horrendous prospect. Okay, well, there we go. Let's leave it that. We've got to talk about Histon and their fantastic success at the moment. So hopefully the club will say something. I'm not going to bank on it, but they certainly ought to. It's driving people nuts, and at least come out and let's hear what's going on. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we will talk about Histon.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
when we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. It's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green.
So as usual, just bear with me while we try and get Mark on the phone. It's ringing, so that's a good sign. So, as I said, an 8-0. Hey, Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I said, well, you're in bed because you just couldn't get over the scoreline from yesterday then, is it?
Yeah, it was... to be honest, I can't actually recall ever winning by that margin. I mean, I know we've won 6-0, I think. And what was it? I think 5-1 as well this season, but 8-0. No one was expecting that. I mean, it's kind of funny looking back now because a few of us commented that this could potentially be a banana skin, but you know, it was far from it. And rarely do I feel sorry for the for the other side as a Histon fan, but I did yesterday. It was a complete rout.
I mean, you know, the kind of problem that Histon have had hasn't been in scoring. They have scored quite freely. They've lost games that they should have won because they didn't necessarily put every chance away, and they've conceded a fair few goals. And I suppose you can look at the results of late with, you know, wins against one of the top teams and a draw as well, and the performances that have been put in. And you kind of, you know, Lance has kind of alluded to the fact that it was potentially a result waiting to happen, although I suspect even he'd be shocked about how easy it was.
Yeah, I suppose, like you say, if you look at the way that we've been playing sort of very recently, we've put in some great performances and won quite convincingly, but also we've been at slightly under par but still sort of put away two or three goals. So in a way, yeah, you could say that this has been coming. But I think even still, you know, to score eight was... none of us expected it, but it was total domination. I think it was, obviously it's a case of taking a lot of your chances, but especially I think we made the most of our aerial dominance and the fact that we can be quite good in the box. And I think it was five of the eight goals were headers yesterday. And you know, it's one of the things in the past where I've looked at our side and sort of physically we've probably not been able to match a lot of our opponents, but yesterday was a complete role reversal. You know, you looked at their side and we were carrying over most of them. So I think we sort of obviously managed to put that to our advantage. But it was also, it was strange really. It was, I don't know if you could say it was the complete performance just because Fakenham, you know, certainly weren't at the races. But yeah, I think it was a combination of playing to our strengths. And like I say, one of those days where just everything we seemed to touch just went in.
Yeah, and again, you also look at Fakenham and they've got 30 games, they've only got 17 points, 5 wins, 2 draws. They've scored only 18 goals in 30 games and conceded 84, a goal difference of minus 66. So, I mean, you know, you can be kind about the opposition before the game and say, oh, every game's a potential slip-up, but had you not beaten them in the form you're in, you'd have certainly been incredibly disappointed. But as you say, it all comes together and you end up, scoring a hatful of goals. I mean, there's some interesting games coming up. You've got obviously Brantham is the next game next Saturday, and then you've got Great Yarmouth, Long Melford and Wroxham. So you've got Brantham are immediately above you, and then you've got some mid-table teams. But the feeling is obviously good down there, and it looks like it's going to be a good season, which has been a long time in coming, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, each game's a hurdle, and obviously you can trip up at any point, and next week is certainly going to be probably one of the tougher tests. I think they're on a two-game losing run, so I suppose you could say if we're going to play them, we're playing them at a good time. But, you know, even still, they've been pretty solid most of the season, and I think I pointed out not so long ago that... we had of the remaining fixtures, the toughest ones we have left are are Brampton, God Manchester, and Stowmarket. So they're probably one of the three that that Lance has probably had in the back of his head for a while, just being wary about the fact that it's going to be a tougher test. But you know, like I said, we've put eight in yesterday, so it's, I guess, in a way we're going into it in the best form possible. So yeah, like I say, tough test, but if we can put in another good performance and get a decent win, then it keeps us up in the chasing pack. I mean, like I say, Brampton lost again yesterday. Felix Stowe are on a two-game losing streak at the moment. So you never know. I think, as I said before, you know, if we're going to stand a chance, we've got to put in a run like Felix Stowe did in the first half of the season. And at the moment, it's looking as though possibly that might happen. We're eight games unbeaten. Seven of those are wins. So, yeah, it's fantastic times at the Glasswell at the moment.
And I think the other interesting thing about yesterday is that in all those eight games, Matty Hayden hasn't scored, and he managed to pick up a hat-trick yesterday.
Yeah, well, we were actually talking. I think he hadn't scored since November, you know, and he'd been quite prolific up to that point. So, yeah, I think he was absolutely, obviously, delighted to get a hat-trick. You always are. But I think just the fact that it's been a bit of a long time coming, you know, it's been nice for him. In a way, Ed Rolfe's been sort of stealing headlines recently with some fantastic performances. And he, again, put in a brilliant shift yesterday. It just so happened that he didn't manage to score one. But, again, that also, like I say, what we've said before, it points to the fact that there's goals from pretty much everywhere in this team. So, you know, if someone's not able to get the finishing touch, then you always got another part of the pitch where someone can come in and cover. And you know, Matty got three. James Carman came on and got one. Jenkins got another one. So, I mean, you know, there's always people that are going to be chipping in. And, yeah, I suppose that's the other pleasing part of yesterday.
Okay, well, we'll go to Lance and see if we can get hold of him, and we'll hopefully see you in the studio next week. We'll talk to you later. Thanks very much, Mark.
Cheers.
Okay, so let's see if we can get hold of Lance. Ooh, it says there. Let me just press that button and do that. And hopefully this is going to come through, and we'll end up talking to Lance instead of voicemail. Bit later than we told him he would actually be to him, so I hope he hasn't gone out. It's ringing. It's all the excitement. Oh, hey, Lance, you there?
Hi, Tom, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Wow, 8-0.
Yes, I've been talking about it for the last 24 hours, obviously. People asked me, said, what happened? I said, well, possibly the best 45 minutes, especially first half, that I've probably experienced ever being involved with Hickson Football Club. The way we started it, the way we pressed the ball, the way we squeezed the play, the way we created chances, everything about it was just sublime yesterday. So, yeah, it was a nice afternoon yesterday.
And I think, I mean, you know, everything has gone right for you recently. Eight games without defeat, seven of which are wins. You've got people scoring freely across the whole of the team. You've defended well and hardly conceded goals. You've performed as you wanted to perform against the top clubs. You've played games where you weren't playing particularly well, but you've still got the run, and you can knock the goals in against teams that, you know, you should be beating. I mean, it really couldn't be going any better for you at the moment.
No, it can't. I mean, obviously, next weekend's game away at Brampton is a massive six-pointer. But obviously, the confidence we have right now is second to none. I think I said this two or three weeks ago, the dressing room at the moment is a wonderful place to be. The atmosphere is great. The buzz around it, even the ones that don't start, are still fully involved and still appreciative to be involved and loving every minute they do get on the pitch. And it's just a great place to be. So, to get wins like yesterday, obviously, A, helps our goal difference, but also sends a real kind of message that we want to be top four. And we have beaten good sides, especially in January, obviously. And we have also, like Hagelborough last week, where we don't play particularly well, but we still get a 2-0 win. And that's the sign of a good side at the moment. So the confidence is really, really sky high. And we're looking forward to every game. And we have a full fit squad apart from Tommy Wright and Charlie Brown. So everything's good at the moment.
And as you say, I mean, six-pointer against Brantham, who've you've got the, they've got games in hand and are just in front of you, and that's going to be an important game. And then after that, the nice thing is about as you come into the fixtures at the back half of the season with Great Yarmouth, I think you beat 6-1, and Long Melford, I think it was a 3-1 win, and Wroxham, yep, it was a draw. You're kind of now looking at playing teams again that you've already beaten, which again must be, you know, given the form you're in now, it must give that confidence, and you know, the momentum is firmly in your favour.
Certainly that way. I mean, obviously, Brantham have just gone and lost their last two games. Felixstowe just lost their last two games. But the teams that have beaten them are Long Melford and Great Yarmouth. And I think that's the beauty of where the squad's at right now, is that they're realising that any team they play, whether it be Long Melford, Great Yarmouth, or a Cockleshall, or a Felixstowe, it doesn't really matter, because on any given day, anyone can beat anybody. But it's, I think it's our mindset at the moment that, you know, I think we feel we can beat anybody on a good day. And so every time we turn out, we feel that way. And it's, at the moment, the confidence is sky high, like I said. So we won't, teams like Great Yarmouth and Long Melford, we will not, you know, neglect them by thinking that they're pushovers, because that's not the case. Yes, we beat Great Yarmouth 6-1 away from home. It was a good day. But we know when they come to us, I think last week they beat Felixstowe. So it's not going to be easy, but I think the mentality of the squad right now is perfect.
Excellent. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you, and all the best for Brantham next week. Hopefully extending that unbeaten run to 9 games. We'll talk to you later on. Thanks very much, Lance.
Thanks, Tim. I hope so. Thank you.
So there we go. I mean, you know, for some teams it's not going so well, or for one team in particular it's not going so well. For Histon, it's just, I was, because we chat about all the football as we finished the game while we're waiting for Sean to come out, and I couldn't believe it when I saw 8-0. I thought, oh, that must be wrong, and went and checked, and so lo and behold, it is 8-0. So absolutely fantastic. And you know, it's so nice to see Histon, who've struggled for the last 2-3 years, struggled for longer than that, to be honest, but finally things are coming good for them, and hopefully a season in which they can you know, go back up and get back to a level, and you know, their finances are on their way to being sorted out. The 3G pitch is on its way to being you know, to being financed. So a lot going for them, and it is good to see them. As we said, Cambridge City, victim of the St Ives pitch again. I think it's going to be a recurring story if the weather's to be, because it's going to get terrible over the next month with snow and Arctic temperature. Actually, Arctic temperatures might help them out, because it'll freeze the amount. It'll be like an ice rink. They'll have to play in ice hockey boots to actually play. But it's going to get more and more difficult for them. Fortunately, they're not behind us yet, but it's not going to be long before they're going to have a big fixture backlog to actually get rid of. We were going to phone Steve, but obviously there's nothing ready to say at the moment, so I won't bother with that, and I won't bother Robbie Nightingale either. We did discover that Histon Ladies, they actually did play today. They won 4-2, and I think it was against Wisbeach, I think was the game. I know that Cambridge United Women Reserves should have played. I don't know whether they did or not, and I think Cambridge City Ladies, their development team should have played, but again, I'm not sure about that.
I think they lost 2-1.
All right, okay, there you go. So we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. But I mean, it's been an interesting show. You know, I'm surprised. It's a pity we didn't get more people involved. But I think, you know, we've speculated, we've asked the questions. I'm sure that no one from the club really listens to us, but it would be interesting to get some answers. And I know that the fans want it. Hopefully the club will see sense and realise they've got to say something to the fans. Even if it's bad news, you've got to get it out in the open and tell people, otherwise they'll carry on speculating and it'll just get worse and worse. So we're coming to the end of this evening. I'm just going to ask Ollie to look up the Squeeze Football, the mental health charity game. We'll just talk about that for a second. Stay with us, Chris Dearden with Choice Threads. It's all about David Byrne tonight, playing some of his lesser known stuff from solo albums, collaborations, Talking Heads, and a track from his forthcoming album American Utopia. So that's coming up after this. So we had obviously Stu in a while ago, two, three weeks ago, talking about Squeeze Football, and I need to chase him up, because we are going to try and see if we can get some kind of non-league summary It's a question of whether we can, it depends whether he can record stuff or whether we can get him in, and it's a long way to come for 5 minutes at the end of a show, but we are going to try and get a regular update on the long on the non-league games that we don't cover in the area, at least on a monthly basis. So I need to get in touch with him. So Stu, if you're listening, we'll be talking to you soon. He was talking about the charity football game in aid of Mind, and that started to firm up now. Sunday 20th of May, Newmarket Town Football Club, and that's going to be a men's and a women's game, isn't it? It's football players, local football players from East Anglia, both male and female, past and present, come together for a celebration of football and community in support of mental health. The ladies' kickoff is at 12 o'clock. And the men's kickoff is at 3:30. Gates open at 11 a.m. Bar and food at the ground. All the proceeds go to Mind. See the Squeeze Football Twitter feed for more information. And the admission fee is a donation on the gate. So if you're going to go down there, let's be generous and make some money for that. A good cause. And I know mental health charities are something that, as a radio station, we've done a lot of support for, so let's get involved and behind this. I'm still talking to the station about whether we can do a live broadcast from that. It depends what sports shows are actually on, because obviously the season's finished then, but unless of course we're in the playoffs, then it won't finish, but they'll all be available to play at this rate. So thanks very much for joining us for this week. Yes, I've got Ollie's mouthing podcast at me. So Ollie's now on the ball, and the show is been released as a podcast. We're on iTunes. Does that make us famous finally? So if you want to listen to it again, or you want to replay it for other people who didn't hear it, then you can download the podcast from iTunes, and also I think from our website as well, it's available on there. If you want, you can do that. Other than that, we will be joining you next week. Well, anything could happen, really, couldn't it? If Histon can win 8-0 and we can not win a game away from home until September.
I think we should swap over next week and let Mark go first.
So here we go. Thanks very much for joining us. We will talk to you again next week. 105 Radio.